Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, and it's the top of the hour 3 Central Time, we'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742, because it is the live broadcast. 844-322-2742. Call quickly. Let us hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about living life as a believer in this world, and John had a lot to say about this world that we live in. He said in verse 15 of chapter 2 of his first letter, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride and possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." So as believers, we've been rescued from the world. We've been given a new heart, new desires. So our hearts are affixed to Jesus Christ. That's where we derive our life. We walk by faith in him, which shows our love for him. That's our response to his love for us. Yet the world is that we live in is going to continue to try to lure us back through these things, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride and possessions. Those are its tools against us. Those are the things that are going to exert pressure on us to try to conform back to the ways of this world. How do we stand firm, guys? How do we stand firm in the grace of God that's been delivered to us in Christ Jesus? And I think that's a question that many believers are asking today, because they feel that tug on the heart by the world. They feel the world trying to pull them back in, and many are caving, many are buckling under that pressure. How do they stand firm in the grace of God? It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the answer, you know, John gives us a great answer right here in verse 15. I think the answer is the love of the Father. And so as you think about what these struggles are, you know, the lust of the eyes, well, that implies that Father, you know, my Heavenly Father has not been good enough to me. He's not good enough at supplying for me. I have to go out and look for more and hunt and plead and beg for more from the world so that I can get my fill and be satisfied. Well, the love of the Father dashes that idea against the rocks and says, wait a minute, if he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, if he is a good Father who is a giver of good gifts, you know, if you ask him for, you know, a staff, is he going to give you a snake? If you ask him for bread, is he going to give you a stone? He's a good Father. He's a giver of good gifts. So, you know, Bob, I think the answer here comes back to the love of God and really setting our minds on the love of God. These other things, I mean, you know, the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, all of these things are about shopping for more, trying to find something in the world that's going to fill us and satisfy us, when really, really the only thing that will satisfy us is God's love for us. And so that's what I think John is pointing us to again and again in his letter. It's all about the love of God, isn't it?
It really is. The love of the Father drew us unto himself to begin with, and then we responded to that. So everything starts, as far as the Christian life is concerned, with the love of God that has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that was fully demonstrated for us through Christ's death on the cross. It all starts right there. And that is the life force that moves us along this life that we have in Jesus Christ. And so we can say, as we respond to the love of God, the things of the world grow strangely dim to us. They lose their appeal to our minds and to you know, us as individuals. So as we continue to respond to the love of the Father, we'll be able to stand firm and to live out who we are as children of God in this crazy world in which we live today. And it is a crazy world, isn't it?
Sure is. Don't get me started.
I know, and it seems to be getting crazier by the moment. So I just look at what's going on in the world today, and I say, thank God for the love of the Father. Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for Jesus, that we have life that this world really knows nothing about until their eyes are opened to the love of the Father as demonstrated to us in the person of Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you could be with us. If it is the first half of the 3 o'clock hour Central Time when you're hearing the broadcast, you're hearing the live broadcast. We'd like to hear from you, 844-322-2742. And that's good in the U.S., of course, and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, of course, for several days, we've been talking about our new DVD teaching series called Your Living Hope. And folks, we have a copy for you as you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month. As I said yesterday, I want the guys who are actually on the video to tell us about it. So, Richard, it's your turn. Would you tell the listeners who haven't heard all about this new video series?
Well, I don't want to tell them all about it because they won't watch it. But as we were just talking about, we live in a world that is trying to pressure us to conform. Everywhere you look, every aspect of your life, whether you're in school, at work, just living at home with your family, raising your kids, teaching people, whatever it is, the world has a way of doing things, and it wants to force you into that mold. You're going to feel that pressure. You feel it every day. Sometimes we kind of fall for it. Well, thankfully, God knew that was coming, and he gave us Peter, of all people, Peter, the one who tripped up more on this issue than perhaps any of the other disciples. And when he finally got it, he was able to write in his first letter, regardless of the pressure you feel to conform, there is an answer in Jesus. Because of who he is and what he has accomplished and what he is doing in you, it doesn't matter what the world is saying to you, what they're trying to get you to do. If you want to drive the world crazy, live in the peace and rest of Jesus Christ. They can't take it away from you. They can't force you to change your mind. You are settled. I mean, it's described in Hebrews as an anchor for the soul. When we have that, and the way Peter describes it is wonderful, we've got the life that we want to live. And that's what Bob and I got a chance to talk about on this video.
Absolutely. Richard, of course, is speaking of our new DVD teaching series called Your Living Hope. And as I said, we want you to have a copy of it. And it's yours as you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Simply go online to basicgospel.net, click that donate button, or you can call anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742, and make your donation to help keep the good news coming on Basic Gospel. Well, again, thanks for being with us. Bob Christopher is here, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis. We had a call, not a call, but an email from Christopher. He says, thank you for the blessing that you are to so many around the world by sharing the heart of the Father and our Savior. I see so many discouraged, disappointed Christians. What part of the good news are they not hearing, or what part are they missing? I understand that in this world, there are serious trials and tribulations. However, Jesus said, cheer up, for I've overcome the world. How can I, as a believer, be of encouragement to those specific believers? Can you share your definition of the good news of Jesus Christ? That's from Christopher, who wrote to us from South Africa.
Boy, he sure does hit the nail on the head. Yeah. As far as the problem that many Christians are battling and struggling with, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The lack of joy, the lack of excitement in knowing Christ and knowing his love. What are they missing? What are they missing? What have they given their lives to, so to speak, that it's led them down to a path of misery instead of down a path of joy and peace and all of those wonderful things?
Well, you know, guys, I think if Jesus tells us that the truth will set us free and people are not free, then what that means is they don't really know the truth. They may know part of the truth, but they don't know the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The reality is that sometimes these truths of the gospel get watered down. I mean, we could spend years talking about this, and we do. That's why this ministry exists. But number one, the forgiveness issue, the idea that Jesus Christ has taken away all of our sins. Well, some people don't really believe that. They think, well, he took away my past sins, but not my future sins. So it's up to me to, keep short accounts with God. I've got to get out my legal pad. I've got to make sure I confess every single one. If I forget one, well, I'm really up a creek. Then I'm out of fellowship. God is mad at me. He's frustrated at me. You know, the question is from Christopher, why are there discouraged Christians? Well, that's one reason why. If you imagine that God hasn't forgiven you yet and that you got to keep short accounts with him, you need a legal pad to do so, and that he's frustrated and discouraged by looking at you, well, then that's going to discourage you. So, you know, the forgiveness issue is one thing. Then you get into the law and grace issue, and people say, oh, yeah, I know, I'm not under the Jewish law. Well, we've still got this sort of Bible Belt, Christian, American version of the law going on these days where I can't feel good about me and God unless I've done enough. I've got to do more and be more, and then God is pleased as punch with me for maybe 6 hours until I blow it and fail to do something on the list. So whether it's you grew up with the thou shalt have a quiet time every day, or else, you know, God's ticked off at you, or you can't miss a day at church, or, you know, whatever it is. So you got to witness to everybody you meet, whether they want to hear it or not, just cram it down their throat, grace in your face. Well, you know, that sort of attitude is going to discourage any Christian because they're going to feel like I don't measure up. I can't get there. I can't please him. I can never do enough. And so to know that you're dead to the law and that you're acceptable in the beloved, that is a big deal. To know that God actually likes you and loves you and accepts who you are, and he's not trying to get you to do more before he'll be happy with you. Those are two things, guys, that right off the bat I would say are very discouraging to loads of Christians. If you're believing in a partial forgiveness, or if you're believing in an achievement system where you got to get God to like you and then keep him liking you, those are going to be some very debilitating doctrines. And that's why Basic Gospel exists, in order to put these things in the light so we can see clearly where we've gone wrong and then how we can really get back to this truth that will set us free.
And that gets right back to, I think, our topic for the month, and that's how to withstand those pressures that are being exerted, that are coming at us. And one of those pressures to conform is from the religious world, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've got this idea that forgiveness is not a once for all forgiveness, that it wasn't just delivered all in one time when we received Christ, that it's doled out over time, sin after sin after sin. Well, that's what the religious world teaches. And so if you look at the Word of God and see that Christ took them away once and for all, now you're in a conflict. Do I believe what the religious world is teaching, or do I believe what the Word of God is teaching? And if you believe what the Word of God is teaching and you take a stand there, you're going to feel pressure from the religious world to abandon that and to conform to their way of teaching. Why? Because that's going to make them feel good. That's going to validate their existence and their flavor of the truth, so to speak. Yeah. So we feel that kind of pressure to conform to error instead of getting the encouragement from the Christian world to stand firm in the truth. And that's why we need voices like ours that will say, hey, it's all Jesus. It's him and him alone. He took away our sins once and for all. He delivered that forgiveness in full to us. We stand before him cleansed, forgiven, righteous. And it's not it's not shades of that. It's either or. You're either forgiven or you're not. You're either righteous or you're not. You're either in Christ or you're not. There's no in between. And if you are, don't let anybody try to give you, nuanced truth and say there's subtle shades and, you know, 50 shades of gray as far as the gospel is concerned. Man, run away from that. Don't conform. Don't let that pressure suck you in to error that's going to put you in bondage when you can walk in truth that will set you free.
Yes, indeed. We love hearing from our listeners, and Christopher included. And friends, if you have a question, can't get to us while we're actually live on the air, that, of course, the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, well, we would love to hear from you by email. You can drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call your question and record it in your own voice, 844-322-2742. That number available 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. We had a question also from Beverly. She says, I'm seeing more and more Christians accepting homosexuality as an acceptable lifestyle for the Christian. How do I minister to someone who is immersed in grace and yet deceived by the misunderstanding of living abundantly? He is in Christ, and since hearing the message of complete acceptance, he has decided God has made him this way, and he needs to embrace it. I want to search more scripture for what is true. Can you direct me to scriptures that specifically speak to this issue? That's from Beverly, who wrote to us from Georgia.
Yeah, well, guys, you know, we're going to hear more and more about this as the years go by and as the decades go by. It seems like society is moving in this direction to say, you know, that even among believers, even in churches across the United States and around the world, that, you know, this sort of thing needs to be acceptable and okay. And if you don't pat people on the back and say, this is of God, this is God's design, then you're just not loving and you're just not gracious. Well, you know, the Bible actually has a different take on that. As we look at Romans chapter 1, for example, you know, Beverly, you're asking, where can you go? I think for yourself and for your own understanding and deepening your understanding of God's design, you go to Romans chapter 1. It's a fabulous place to see where we start out a certain way and we're in need. We're spiritually dead. We need life. We need the life of Christ. And so God is telling us the story of how the creation turned away from him. And it says men with men and women with women, and that they received a penalty within themselves. And so you say, well, what is that penalty? Well, there's all kinds of theories about that. Is it some sort of physical thing that occurred as a result? Is it a mental thing? Is it all of the above? Is it just delusion and confusion? It could be all those things. But the bottom line is that, you know, we are not designed to function that way. So if your friend, Beverly, if your friend is a child of God, that means that they have a new heart and they have a new identity and their heart's desires have changed. And so I can't count the number of times that I've had people ask me this. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm understanding my identity in Christ now, and I understand that I'm free in Christ, and I'm understanding my forgiveness. So therefore, you know, and this is a man speaking, why, you know, what would keep me from just, you know, living with another guy and being in relationship with him? And my response to that is, well, wait a minute. Didn't you just tell me you had a good handle on your new identity in Christ? In other words, your heart doesn't really want that. You think that you're going to get on the other side of that and find fulfillment and find satisfaction and find peace, but you're not going to be at peace. There's no way. If you are in Christ and you're a new creation, there's no way that you will ever be at peace with that decision. So it is a mirage. It is a deception. It is a delusion. And the enemy wants you to chase after that. And then on the other side of it, you will find yourself more deluded, more confused than ever before. And so God is just trying to save us the trip. I mean, that's what he's doing. He's trying to protect us from things that are harmful and show us things that are healthy, that are in line with his design. So it's and that holds true, guys, for any sin imaginable. I mean, the reality is it doesn't have to be about a homosexual lifestyle. We could be talking about gossiping or lying, or we could be talking about anything under the sun. The reality is if you're a child of God, then your new resurrection heart with Jesus living in you is never going to find fulfillment by choosing sin.
That's exactly right, Andrew. And thanks for such a clear explanation. I think one of the lies that this young man has bought into is that God made him that way. And from there, if God made me that way, then ultimate happiness is going to come as I walk down that path. If God made me as a homosexual, then the only way I'm going to be happy as a human being is through homosexuality. Well, that's the lie. Happiness, true joy, what we are desperately seeking as human beings, only comes through relationship with Jesus Christ. If I want the deepest need of my human heart met, if I want to have ultimate acceptance, unconditional love, if I want to have true meaning and purpose to life, it is in relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the truth, and that truth will set us free. But if I'm going to buy into the fact that God made me this way, therefore ultimate happiness is going to come to me as I walk down this path, then you've bought the lie at the get-go. You've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And that path that you take is not going to lead to happiness. As you said, Andrew, it's going to lead to all sorts of things that do not line up with who you are as a child of God. So we have to realize that our ultimate need is new life in Christ. Once we have it, then that new life in Christ transcends everything else. That new life in Christ is lived out from within. Our heart has been changed. And if we will have the guts to follow the leading of God's Spirit, then we're going to find the ultimate joy in our lives.
Yeah.
Now, that may be some tough decisions. And if you've had your flesh gratified in that certain way, that flesh is going to be pressuring you to conform and saying to you, see, you're still one of those. But you have to stand tall, stand firm in this grace of God that is yours in Christ. And as you do, you're going to find ultimate fulfillment in your relationship with God.
This is Basic Gospel, of course, and thanks to Bob and Andrew for the clarity of that answer. And hope Beverly is heard and is listening, and that is edifying to her as well. Finally, a question from Jeremy says, I get frustrated at things, especially in my spiritual life. I get so confused. I've been to church my whole life and years ago asked God to save me, but as I got older, I rebelled, and now I stand a middle-aged broken man and don't even know where to begin, if I'm even saved or what's going on. I have done so many dumb things, I cannot even begin to fathom how many sins I've committed. To be forgiven would be great, but when I hear the gospel preached and read books, I have a stronghold in my mind that somehow I have not been able to overcome. What do I do? What do I need to do? Ask God to save me? Where do I begin to get things right? Can I ever get things right again? It's really frustrating, and I don't know how to overcome.
Well, here's the truth. He won't be able to ever get things right. That's something that has to be done by God, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, Jeremy, what I would say to you is you're frustrated, you're confused, you feel broken, and you're in the perfect spot for exactly what we're talking about. You know, we're frustrated when we try to get ourselves right. We're confused when we try to get ourselves clean. We feel broken when we try to be strong for God. And the gospel is the polar opposite of that. You don't have to get yourself clean. You let Jesus Christ make you clean. And he does that once for all. He does a perfect job at it. See, if it was up to us to get ourselves clean and keep ourselves clean, we'd all be confused like you are. We'd all be frustrated with our own performance, with the repeat offenses that we commit. And so Jesus did something way better. He changed all of that. The confusion can be washed away when we recognize the clarity of what he did. On the cross, he did something that's over, that's finished. And so when you open the door of your life, which you may have already done, I mean, it's hard to tell where you're at, my friend, but what I would say is, you know, salvation is this. Jesus Christ, I open the door of my life, and I'm asking you to come live within me and be my life. You take my sins away once for all. You be my eternal life forever. So, Jeremy, if there's never been a point in your life where you received him, that's the test that we have to pass. I mean, Paul puts it in those terms. He says, do you pass the test? That is, does Jesus Christ live in you? So ask yourself that question. Do I have Jesus Christ living in me? If you don't, verbally, in your mind, in your heart, as you pray to God, ask, open the door of your life and invite the life of Jesus Christ to be with you forever. And what will happen is he doesn't just indwell you, but he forgives you perfectly. Yeah. So when your confusion comes up, you can say, no, wait a minute, no reason to be confused. Jesus Christ took my sins away. When your frustration comes up, you say, wait a minute, no reason to be frustrated. My poor performance is exactly why Jesus died, to take those things away, and he remembers them no more. So the sin blockage is over. There's no obstacle between you and God at that point. So, you know, Bob, I think probably for Jeremy's sake, there may be something we could possibly send him. Huh?
Yeah. Yes, well, Andrew, we are absolutely out of time. We're just time enough to say we'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us for a Hard Passages edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you, and we will see you tomorrow. Hope you'll be here. Bye-bye.